1420 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The White House has denied President Biden has Parkinson's and any other cognitive issues following his debate performance.
Every year around the president's physical examination, he sees a neurologist. That's three times, right? So I am telling you that he has seen a neurologist three times while he has been in this presidency.
That's Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre. Biden notified congressional Democrats today he's not going anywhere. Barrels causing extensive damage in Texas now. CBS's Janet Shamlian's in Sugar Land near Houston.
We're out of power. Hospitals, hotels are out of power right now. We know this is going to be a days-long event as this storm continues to wreak havoc with the region.
The blazing heat's claimed at least five lives out west. William Cadwallers in Death Valley.
It's almost like climbing Mount Everest. How many people can say they actually climb Mount Everest? So it's just being there in the hottest place in the world.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. It's another big day for cleanup in Manawa, where things are starting to get back to normal. Floodwaters burst through a levee on the Little Wolf River during heavy rains Friday morning. People had to be evacuated from their homes. The levee itself didn't fail, but much of the ground around it washed away. U.S. Senate Democrats have canceled their meeting about their support for President Biden today. Wisconsin's Tammy Baldwin has been mum on the topic.
I'm listening carefully to what my constituents and voters have to say in Wisconsin, and certainly sharing those comments with the president's advisors.
Some big Democratic donors want Biden to step aside. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following our upcoming meetings in the listening area for Tuesday, July 9th, the Wood County Operations Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the courthouse in room 114. The Wisconsin Rapids Human Resources Committee will meet at 4 at City Hall. The City of Nakusa will hold their Ways and Means meeting at 6:30, followed by their Common Council meeting at 7. The Village of Port Edwards will have their regular monthly meeting at 7. The Town of Rome will have their Plan Commission meeting at 4. In Portage County, the Stevens Point Police and Fire Commission will meet at 2. The Space and Properties Committee meeting, scheduled for 3:30, has been canceled, and the Healthcare Center Committee will meet at 5 p.m. The Village of Whiting will hold their regular board meeting at 6. In Adams County, the Public Works meeting will take place at 10 a.m., and the Coordinated Services Advisory Committee will meet from 4 to 5:30. The Solid Waste Committee meeting, scheduled for 4, has been canceled. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers get a W in L.A. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat the Dodgers 9-2 in Los Angeles. That snapped a Brewers seven-game losing streak at Dodger Stadium. The crew with home runs from Christian Yelich, catcher Eric Haas, and center fielder Blake Perkins on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Ah, Perkins, left field, deep, and out of here. Blake Perkins. That's a smooth operator. 5-2 Brewers on Perkins homer.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy on Blake Perkins' performance Sunday.
Of course, you got to mention Perkins. Three hits, three RBIs, big homer to extend the lead. Great effort. A lot of guys, great effort.
So the Brewers return home for a game against the Pirates tomorrow night. The Chicago Cubs lost again 7-0 to the Angels at Wrigley Field. A frustrated relief pitcher, the Cubs' Colin Brewer, punched a dugout wall after giving up three runs in one inning. Brewer is now on the 60-day injury list. He broke his left hand. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
At Uline, they know firsthand the road to success is an uphill climb. Uline started in the family basement, and through hard work is now North America's most trusted shipping and industrial supplier. They get what it means to have the support of reliable, hardworking partners, so they keep 41,000 items ready to ship. Whether your company is still in a basement office or expanding cross-country, Uline will be there on your road to success. Visit uline.com.
A mix of sunshine, showers, and thunderstorms that'll be widely scattered throughout the day today. It could bring some heavy rainfall alongside more flooding risks. Otherwise, highs today tap the upper 70s and climb to the low 80s by tomorrow, with chances of patchy fog overnight. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 80 degrees at our studios.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
John is in studio with me right now.
I got banned at Great America for playing whack-a-mole.
What?
So I won 14 times in a row. I still got a picture of it. My son in the back seat, 3 or 4 years old, with just his head sticking out and all these teddy bears.
Here I was going to make this risque joke, and then you throw your son into there. Now I have to keep
it clean. Go ahead. Thanks. That's really
nice. You are one master whacker. I'll tell you that.
Thanks. Wow. That's unbelievable. Impressive. You Hollywood types.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, Joe Biden's top 100 rolls into days 25 and 26. We're talking infrastructure and transportation. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Today's Midday Magazine was previously recorded on a different date. Thank you for listening from WFHR. Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. In part one, and for the whole half an hour here, we're going to be speaking with Lieutenant Scott Sager. Scott is joining us to talk a little bit about his career as he's wrapping things up. We want to thank our friends over at the Wood County Sheriff's Department for doing that. We also want to thank our great friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media being here. Always a appreciate Joe and the gang. Do yourself a favor. If you haven't done so already, go to YouTube, type in your search bar Wisconsin Rapids Community Media and subscribe to their page. Keep up to date on all the great work they're doing and support them like they support us. Scott, thank you so much for being here. Do you want to spend the first 5 minutes ripping on Sean? Because, I feel like we can. He's not here, and he kind of stood us up a little bit on everything. So, no, we can't do that. I don't even know what I'd come up with, to be honest with you, man. But we do want to send a shout-out to Sean. Appreciate the time whenever he is able to join us. Scott, thank you again for being here. I want to get into your career as you are retiring soon. When is your retirement exactly?
I've got a retirement date of August 5th.
Okay, all right.
So coming up here in next 4 weeks.
Well, I got a bunch of questions, but just off the top of my head, my first one, how are you feeling about it?
Well, it was a tough decision to make. It was a hard day, the day that I decided that was going to be the date. It's bittersweet. This is all I've known all my life. Serving the communities and the jurisdictions I work in, sits deep with me. It means a lot to me to help people out in their worst days. I'm ready for the next chapter in my life, and I just have to be able to separate and let that part go. It's been all my life, my career, and it's something I've been proud of and very much enjoy coming to work to every day for all the years. And I think that says a lot for anybody that can enjoy, going to their job every day.
That I love that phrase. Yeah, you enjoy what you do. You never work a day in your life. Right, it's a great phrase. Before we go too much further into the future here, let's rewind a little bit. Let's go back. First off, what got you to want to be in this service? What got you to want to do this for a career?
Well, it's back in the high school days. I was a senior in high school. I was halfway through my senior year. I'm a local here, born and raised in Wisconsin Rapids. I was at Lincoln High School halfway through and didn't know for sure what I was going to do. My father was a carpenter of trade, I was thinking about, getting into carpentry and the trades, and he was kind of trying to talk me out of that, trying to do something different. I talked to a couple of police officers halfway through my career, and just kind of piqued my interest, and the more and more I started kind of digging into it and learning more about it, the more and more I just got more interested, and that's, I think I found my niche of what I wanted to do. So
something sparked in you about it.
Yeah. And it was not until halfway through high school, senior year.
Was it one of those, because I know this happened for me when I was at Lincoln, too. We had times where they came in, officers that were currently enlisted came in and talked to us as students and everything and kind of told us about what it is to be in a police officer or a sheriff and some of that. That I know that that even piqued my interest as a kid. Was something like that what helped get you started on this path?
No, it was more kind of an off-duty type scenario. Or outside of the school,
I should say.
They didn't really have a lot of that when I was in high school. And that
I bring it up in part because I imagine sometimes you don't know who you're impacting doing those when you go to schools and everything. I know it did me, and I know I had a friend that it was really impacted by it and really got them. They had never thought about being an officer before, and it really got them to end up thinking about doing that. Just so you and the team knows, that stuff really does help. It really does go a long ways when you're visiting schools, when you're talking with kids. I think it's a great point what you're bringing up too. We talk all the time, Sheriff Becker and I, about building that bridge stronger and stronger between community and law enforcement. And when you stop and you shoot a couple hoops with kids, or you just stop and say hi, and it's nothing more than just one citizen and another talking and everything, that builds bridges, sure, but you also don't know what spark could be started from something like that, where when you're driving away and a little kid's like, that looks like a pretty cool job, like I might want to do something like that. We can have no shortage of that. Again, something else that Sean and I talk about, when he was first going into this and enlisting and being and wanting to be in this job, and the amount of people that were going for it and the amount of people that now go for it. We need more and more good people getting into these services, getting into these jobs. So any chance to start those sparks sounds good.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, just this morning I was at a local business picking up some product, and there was a mother out there with two young kids, and I was just getting ready to get back in my squad, and she asked if the kids were interested. They're wanting to sit in the car, and I'm like, yeah, we can definitely do that. So opened the door and showed them a couple of things inside, and explained some of the basics, the radio and the radar and the computer system. And they wanted to see the back seat, and our back seats have a plastic hard seat in the back, and they said that the definitely didn't look comfortable. I said, yeah, it's definitely a place that you typically don't want to be in if you don't have to. But anyway.
Hopefully the last time you see the backseat. But yeah, especially as kids, whatever gets them interested, whatever kind of gets them to see, it's more than what you see on the outside. I think that's really also hopefully create some empathy in these kids. Whether they go into law service or not, the more information they know about what it like to be in that vehicle, to be in that position, to be in that job, hopefully the more and more empathy we create for that too when it comes to our society and having more and more kids growing up and seeing, this is the line of defense we have as a community, and they understand that a little bit more. How long have you been in the position?
I've been an officer for 30 years, and a few years before that I had 3 years on the Wood County Reserves, starting in 91, 92, and 93, where I did the park patrol and kind of the more of a summertime type of application or special events that go through the year. Jobs were tough to find back in the early 90s here. If we had one position open at a police department or a sheriff's department, there was typically 200 to 300 applicants that would be applying for one position. So, and some of those were, previous officers with prior experience, versus, the young guys just kind of out of the academy with zero experience. So anything to get involved with, on the job type training. I got involved with the auxiliaries, Wisconsin Rapids Police Department on their auxiliary, where it's a volunteer, situation there where you come in uniform, do special events and do some ride-alongs with officers, but anything to build some history and some free on-the-job training experiences.
I was going to ask this a little bit later, but as long as we're talking about it, kind of go right into when it comes to people that are out there listening that may want to look into law enforcement as a career and find out more about it. Are those some of the things you would suggest of kind of getting your feet in the water a little bit? The ride-along seems like a great idea.
Yeah, our department does ride-alongs if there are people interested in, you know, thinking about making that a career path. We're more than willing to accommodate schedules and make something work out, even if it's for a few hours. Some people request, you know, hey, can I ride an entire 12-hour shift? And usually on the first one, we recommend, you know, 3 to 4 hours just to kind of get a taste of it. And if they're interested, you know, we can bring them back another time or two. And then after that stage, typically, we recommend auxiliaries applying for our Wood County Reserve program, which is a great stepping stone into a full-time career. We understand most of our part-time reserves don't typically stick around for more than a couple of years because it is a stage in their life, and they move on to bigger and better and on to full-time careers. So.
When it comes to influences, you mentioned, you know, there was something that sparked you from a young age or when you were in high school about this. As you get into the job, you get into the profession, were there people that impacted it for you that helped guide you in this job?
There were a couple friends of my parents that were officers in town here for the Rapids PD. And I had a chance to have some conversations with them after I was, you know, definitely getting my interest sparked as far as making it a career. And after speaking with them, you know, they had given me the pros and cons and kind of let me make a decision on what direction I wanted to go. But after that, it just really seemed to start coming together, getting on the auxiliaries. Then I got on right away. I started getting experience doing some volunteering and working on special events and the football games and parades and things like that. Before I knew it, I had a couple auxiliaries. I got on the Town of Rome Auxiliary in Adams County as well. Just one thing led to another, to part-time work, to full-time work.
Was there anything that was really a situation, a conversation, anything like that, that was really impactful while you've been in the position, while you've been doing this? I cannot imagine the hard days that can come from a job like this, things that help get you through or help get you through those early, you know, tough days.
Yeah, basically, any time that we can help someone, especially on their bad days, whether it's a medical issue or whether it's an incident related issue, just being able to be there and provide a service to them is the most rewarding part. I've had a lot of medical calls over the years. I've done a lot of CPR, seen, you know, people at their worst time, try to bring them back into the world. Not always, you know, the sunshine rainbows, you know, making it all happen, but people do expire as well. But just knowing that you're there to help people and move forward with making their day better.
Were there some moments, and hopefully there were a lot of them, this is a tough question for you, hopefully, were there some moments that really stood out to you in your career that, like, man, I'm so thankful I have this job. I'm so thankful to be in this position. I can think of there were moments where you were doing things like you were just touching on there and mm-hmm. helping people or what have you. Any events, like, you know, I'm thinking of things like the jump in the water.
Polar plunge.
Polar plunge. Thank you.
Sure.
Jeez,
sure.
Man, Joe, where I needed polar plunge. No, I'm kidding. but yes, polar plunge events like that, that were really fun to be a part of. Were there things that stand out to you in your career that you really enjoyed like that?
Yeah, things like that. Anything with community involvement. The polar plunge was a great time for everybody to get together. You know, people love to see the cops jump in and get cold and wet. We've done all kinds of community, you know, interacting with cops on a rooftop and coffee with a cop and, you know, all types of different things.
Touch a truck events.
Touch a truck. And I've shown our armored vehicle, you know, numerous times and had people, hundreds and hundreds of people in and out of it. And they ask, you know, a million questions, which they should, and answer all their questions for them and explain the reasons why, you know, we have something like that. And after they have a conversation with you and you enlighten them, they totally understand, you know, reasons that would be beneficial.
Yeah. We're speaking speaking with Lieutenant Scott Sager from the Wood County Sheriff's Department. Scott is going to be retiring in August. We're having a conversation about his career and talking about some of the different things that he's experienced through it. And one of the things that I was curious about, Scott, is as much as time as I've spent with you guys, and I've learned more about this, and being honest with the audience and you guys, as you well know, I know both sides of this job in some ways, being a former knucklehead that I am and everything. But one of the things that I always like to ask is finding out different stuff that we wouldn't know as citizens, things that you guys experience or do, things that stand out to you about the job that might be insightful for others that we wouldn't know from a TV show or something like that, but that we can hear from from you yourself. Is there things that stand out to you about the job and your career in doing the job that you don't think your average person would know about?
Yeah, some of the, without getting into great details, the calls that you get that you think no one else would probably ever want to go to or much less experience, the death scenes, the car crashes, the fatal car crashes, domestic incidents, where people are assaulted. There's other things, too, that I was involved with over the years. I was on our... investigations department as a drug officer for 4 years. Did a lot of things on there that I never thought I'd ever be a part of. Some pretty interesting, missions, if you will, and working undercover. I'm the commander for our special response team. Been on our special response team now for all the 19 years I've been at the sheriff's department, and definitely have seen some different range of calls, call outs or warrant services that we have done. And at times we have brought, civilian members of our community along with us on some of the calls, and keep them inside the armored vehicle in a safe location, but just to be able to experience that kind of stuff, because that is something that not everyone sees on a regular basis, and how you have to interact with people and to be safe coming home at night or in the morning if it's a nighttime versus daytime. But yeah, just a kind of a whole total different approach.
Yeah. It's we take so much from TV, movies, and think that we have an insight or we understand a little bit more of these jobs, not just what you do, but certainly almost anything that you see on entertainment and everything. But it's one of the things that I like to bring up to people, especially when it comes to this topic, or even in recent years when it comes to law enforcement, is what you see on TV, it cannot be more scripted. When an officer shows up, there is no script. This is improv. There is no, you're trained and certainly trained very well for these, but you have no idea what that person's going to say or what's going to happen or how what their mood is or their mindset or any of these things. And oftentimes you're doing this with people you've never met before. So the importance of us having some empathy and understanding of that. I appreciate the things that you brought up as well, because part of the reason I wanted to talk about this is I think a lot of people think, well, a police officer or a sheriff's job is this, 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 and this. And there is so much more put on your all plates that weren't when you first started this job.
Right.
It's important for us as a community to not only know this so that we certainly have some appreciation for the work that's being done, but also some understanding of, I would hope, some understanding of what is being asked of our police officers, what is being asked of our sheriff's department in these things. I don't think that enough people are understanding of really the full encompassment of all that is, especially for people like yourself that have been doing this for 30 years, where you started and what's being asked of you now. That's very different worlds. And sure, while we appreciate the work that you're doing, I don't think it's asking a lot for our community to have some empathy and understanding of it as well.
Sure. And we all have hats to wear. As a police officer, we wear a lot of different hats from daily. But it takes all of us in the community to make the world go around. People say, I definitely couldn't do your job. And, honestly, I could say probably the same thing at certain jobs that other people have, that everybody's kind of cut out for something. And that takes us all together to make make it all happen.
That's a good way to put that. Yeah. Scott, as we're wrapping up here, I did have just a couple of other questions for you. When it comes to, I'm really hoping with this interview here that not only you have enjoy yourself, you have a good time, we get some great content for us and, of course, with Kozarabski and Media. But one thing I did want to hope to do is encourage and maybe get a spark in somebody. And maybe somebody out there is listening and it gives them an idea to want to do this and go into law enforcement and everything. What was some of the, if any, advice that you received or that you would give to somebody that is looking to get into this field?
Probably the biggest message is to just to be able to treat people the way that you want to be treated. That definitely goes a long ways in your career. You know, I've seen that I work and live in the community that I work in, you know, I see people on the streets, at Walmart or at a restaurant or wherever it may be while I'm off duty. And it's somebody that I dealt with, you know, maybe in the recent past or the distant past. And they come up and say, thank you to me of, you know, how, hey, you're really decent with me. You treated me with respect. And even though that, at face value, there might be, you know, some real stern instructions you give somebody, but you still need to have that level of respect and treat people with respect like a human being, just the way you would want to be treated. So honestly, the biggest message for me is just treat people the way you want to be treated, and that'll take you through your whole career.
Well said. You know, speaking of things that you can do next and everything, you want to look in the radio, man. You're doing great. You're really good on the radio. You got a great voice, everything. Might be something to look into. That is fantastic advice. Appreciate that, Scott. And as for what's next for you, not to pry or you know, yeah, ask you questions that you may not know the answers to yet. What are you looking forward to about next for you after this?
Yeah, no problem. So for the last 9 to 10 years, I've been the drone coordinator for our department, and the more and more I've got involved with our drone program and flying our drones for, you know, search and rescue and tactical operations and just different requests, some type of photography type stuff, and I basically found a niche and had a couple of people that helped me along in the drone world there, kind of point me in a direction of getting into aerial crop dust spraying, like ag spraying. So with the heavyweight drones. So this past year I got all my certifications and licensing and whatnot. So I'm going to be doing a bunch of agricultural spraying with the heavyweight drones.
Man, that sounds awesome. I've actually gotten into a little of that myself, just in interest. I haven't done anything yet, but I've watched a lot of videos and I've researched it a bit because it just seems like something that would be really cool to do. If you get a chance, you, anybody out there, if you haven't seen our national parks, every one of them have had some drone footage done, mm-hmm. and it's just incredible. Incredible what they can pick up and what they can do with those things now, and the detail, the 4 or 5K, whatever they're up to now, 12K, whatever it is, it just really does feel like you're there. Like, it's just amazing stuff that they're able to do with those now, and that's going to be a fun gig, I imagine. That's going to be very to keep you busy, give you something enjoyable to do, and get a creative outlet there as well. That should be a lot of fun.
There's definitely a few different jobs, you know, that can be done with them, but not just the spray drones, but we also have the camera thermal drones. We help people that can't find their deer in the fall with a thermal drone, helping with deer recovery too. So
what they have done for missing people, like that alone, has made them such an asset to law enforcement, to us as a community. It really is interesting to see where the evolution of those and how much we're finding different uses for them and everything.
Right. Yeah, I told Sheriff Becker if he ever needed any type of search and rescue type stuff done with drone, just a phone call away, and we'll definitely come in and provide that service free of charge to, you know, to the community and give back.
Very cool and appreciative, and also speaks completely to the service that you and so many of your brothers and sisters have done when it comes to this job. Because one of the things that Sheriff Becker and I have also talked about is how you guys retire, quote unquote retire, but you never really leave the gig. Your heart is still there. You got friends and people and colleagues that are still in law enforcement, so you're still going to be paying attention, still going to be certainly having your heart in that world in many ways. We know this also from so many people who will not let go of a cold case and so many officers out there that will keep working on that case long into retirement. I always like to shout out those individuals and show our appreciation to them, because that you talk about above and beyond. I don't know if you can come up with a better description than above and beyond of the service when you continue to, even into retirement, which so many of you guys do. We greatly appreciate that. As we let you go, Scott, I'm curious. You step back, take a step back, look at your career in a third-person perspective. Legacy is such a big word, and I don't think it has to mean as much as we think it can mean and everything. But what do you kind of hope your impact, your footprint on this job and this community has been?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, not a tough question at all to wrap up on. Easy one to wrap up on.
Just another officer out there doing a job, providing service to the community. As far as anything specific to our community or our department, probably the most passion that I've had there is my involvement with the special response team. I just really want to see that team continue to grow and flourish and provide a service to the community, help keep our community members safe when the call comes in that, you know, our regular patrol officers are needing extra help for tactical missions or operations to be able to execute those as safely as possible, and still working with the community, neighboring jurisdictions, you know, whether it's, you know, with Marshfield PD or Rapids PD or Portage County, Pullover PD, you know, neighboring counties, Marathon County. We work with so many neighboring jurisdictions to get to the same end result, to resolve a situation peacefully.
Scott, I can't thank you enough for the time, putting up with my questions, hanging out with us and everything. But most importantly, I want to thank you for your service and everything you've done for this community. We really deeply appreciate you, sir. And thank you for the time. Give Sean a hard time for me, will you?
We'll do. Thank you, James. I appreciate the time.
Good to see you. And enjoy retirement. I hope you enjoy it. And thank you again for the time.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Big thank you to Joe and our friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media being here. Be sure to go into your search bar on YouTube. Type in Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Subscribe to their page. Keep up to date with the great work they are doing. We'll have more Midday Magazine for you coming up on the morning on WFHR Locally Grown Radio.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr. Wisconsin weather is ever changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You may have heard the word derecho as a part of the weather lately, but what do you know about it? Derecho is a Spanish word meaning direct or straight ahead. It's why you may hear straight line winds blamed for damage from a derecho. A downburst, which is an area of strong, damaging winds, causes a derecho, and the Weather Service does not issue warnings for these. They're just standard severe thunderstorm warnings. So this means you'll want to be weather ready during any severe storm. If you're outside, camping, hiking, boating, find a shelter. Otherwise, lie flat, face down, on low ground. Most derechos happen in July, and Wisconsin typically has one or two per year. But experts say climate change will only help increase these numbers. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR. The big winners are in for the Scotty Summer Contest.
Exciting. Let's listen to the calls.
Hi, who's this?
Story.
You're one of our grand prize winners.
All right, man. Great to hear this morning.
We got some good news for you.
Okay.
You are one of our grand prize winners.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome. Winning is fun. Just ask Tammy from Baraboo and Tori from Kewaunee.
Thank you. That's great.
Listen for future chances to text and win on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Reivers says Wisconsin's system of checks and balances is rightfully restored. The state Supreme Court ruled Friday the legislature's Joint Finance Committee overstepped its authority while holding up spending that had already been approved. It could mean funding for conservation land purchases and early childhood literacy. A lot of farm workers do their jobs outside in extreme heat in the summer. The Biden administration wants to give them mandatory rest breaks, shade, and clean drinking water. Samantha Guerrero is a community organizer who says it's high time.
There are a lot of farm workers who are in danger of losing their lives in these extreme temperatures.
479 American workers died from heat exposure between 2011 and 2022. I'm Terry Bell. Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Bartholomew Bart Bauman has been taken into custody. The Marathon County Sheriff's Office updated at 9:55 a.m. that Bauman has been captured. They expressed their thanks to the citizens of Eau Plaine and surrounding area that led to Bauman's capture. He's been on the run for several days, wanted for a Department of Corrections felony warrant. Bauman was considered armed and dangerous, but as of 9:55 this morning, he has been taken into custody. There's a blood drive in Wisconsin Rapids today, and if you donate with the Red Cross, you'll get a Fandango movie ticket by email to see Twisters. The blood drive is happening today at Grace Lutheran Church from 12:30 to 5:30. They're located at 1531 Whitrock Avenue. You can also donate at McMillan Library on July 19th from 10 to 3 or at the Wisconsin Rapids Fire Department on July 24th from 10 to 3. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Matthew Perry had over $1.5 million in his personal bank account at the time of his death. People magazine reports that the late actor wanted his items to be put in an account named the Alvy Singer Living Trust. Alvy Singer was the name of Woody Allen's character in Annie Hall. His full list of assets has not yet been disclosed. An investigation into Perry's death by the LAPD, DEA, and U.S. Postal Inspector is nearing a conclusion. There is nothing like being on a reality competition show as a celebrity contestant and then wanting nothing to do with it. Such is the case with Jason Mraz. He told Jesse Tyler Ferguson on his Dinners on Me podcast that he thought he would only be part of the show for 2 or 3 weeks before being voted off, but then realized he was one of the better dancers and would be there the entire time. He says he missed his cat so much he wanted out and started asking his friends not to vote for him. Despite this, he still made it to the final round. Not a fan of cats, but I admire the conviction. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
A mix of sunshine, showers, and thunderstorms that'll be widely scattered throughout the day today. It could bring some heavy rainfall alongside more flooding risks. Otherwise, highs today tap the upper 70s and climb to the low 80s by tomorrow, with chances of patchy fog overnight. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 78 degrees.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The heat is on. Did you know that high temperatures are the leading cause of weather-related deaths? Here are some safety tips when you're dealing with a Wisconsin scorcher. First, do not leave another person or your pet in the car. 8 kids died in hot cars in the last several years across the state, and it didn't even have to happen. Look before you lock and walk away. Work outside, keep water close, and stay hydrated. Take a break in the shade, and if you can limit time in the heat, even better. Chill out in the air conditioning or find your community's cooling shelter, and check on your family and neighbors to be sure that they're safe too. Stay cool and be cool by being weather ready. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, there are people whose goal is to hike the entire Ice Age Trail. We're going to learn all about that. I hope you'll join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Today's Midday Magazine was previously recorded on a different date. Thank you for listening from WFHR. Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine. Have your host, James, with you. And welcoming to the studio right now, our good friends from the Southwood County YMCA. We have our good friend Aaron Hess with us, Branch Executive Director of the Y. Good to see you again, Aaron.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
And thank you for bringing a new friend with. We have Jacob Klekowitz.
Klakowitz.
Klakowitz. Yeah. He just told me like 2 seconds ago, everybody. Jacob, thank you very much for being here. We appreciate you. We're going to talk about some great events coming up at our Y, talk about some other things. But if you don't mind, Aaron, I would like to kind of put Jacob on the spot. I mean, ask Jacob some questions for... No. Jacob, we always like to get to know people when they're new to our area or new to our station here. So what? Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
Yeah, for sure. I'm originally from Milwaukee area. If anybody knows, I'm from Hales Corners or Greenfield area. But I went up to school to UW-Stevens Point, more in intention to play football, but I fell upon the health promotion and wellness degree and a minor in business. That kind of caught my attention towards the end of those 4 years. But during my time in Stevens Point, I worked at Fraternal Fitness Company, which is a CrossFit facility / 24/7 / personal training. Like we kind of built that from the ground up from the time that me and my colleague were there. But I was kind of looking for a little bit more responsibility, looking forward to impacting a larger group of people, and really thought that the position that was offered at the YMCA here would be a really great opportunity for myself as a healthy living director here.
That's fantastic. And you know, also a great story, great origin story, man. That's really, I appreciate you sharing that with us. It's also, maybe it's me growing up in a sports family or not, but it's not too surprising either. A lot of people that get into athletics, maybe, you know, the percentages is only a small amount that actually make it pro or even going to college, let alone making it pro and everything. So where do you go with that when you have that as a passion, as a love? You find different ways to add to your community or add to the industry itself. My father was very similar. My father was a boxer and played hockey and immediately wanted to go into that kind of world and helping people, especially when it came to their physical health. So it's not too surprising to hear you kind of shift into this. But I think one of the things might be surprising to some, I hear a passion in you about this. I didn't know you when you were young playing sports, but I feel like that same passion you had to play the game is involved in this.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, health and wellness, I live and breathe that. That's my day to day. I try to better myself as much as I possibly can and then take those tools that I learned myself by applying it to myself and throw it back at everybody else to try to influence them into their own health and lifestyle journey. So like that's really what grew, I guess, upon me during that time of being at Fraternal and being in college, is that I kind of developed those skills and those tools and directly applied it to everybody that was able to impact. And it's really awesome. It's really fun.
This is an industry too that is evolving as we're speaking. It's something that we're getting more and more. I mean, for years now, the topic of mental health has been something that we talk quite openly about now, and it's great to, we're in a day and age of that. We're kind of now that we've gotten the subject out there and we're comfortable with it, now we're starting to do the work. Now we're starting to kind of do a little bit more internal stuff, and more people are realizing, well, mental and physical health are very tied together.
Yeah, no doubt. I really think that having some type of outlet to be able to express those things that you're kind of mentally struggling with, exercise is a really great pathway to do that. Just from being able to exert yourself and sweat, it kind of creates a different feeling when you do those things and take that time for yourself. It definitely benefits you on the mental side.
What kind of classes or what kind of work will you be doing over at the Y?
Yeah, I'm excited to kind of take that opportunity to be able to implement sort of programs in the fall coming up here. More aimed to the educational side in health and wellness, right? Where you want to teach proper movement throughout exercise so they can take advantage of those different outlets that we offer at the Y. But along with that, influence them and educate them on what they can do with all their 23 hours, right? Because it's not just about coming in for 1 hour of group fitness or 1 hour of doing your own workout. You got to take care of your body in the backside of things. So educating them on sleep, nutrition, as well as just stress level throughout their day.
Every chance I get, I encourage people to attend and spend as much time as possible at this beautiful facility we have here in Wisconsin Rapids, this Y. I was just there the other day, and I just being honest with you, Aaron, I was blown away how brand new it still looks. Been a couple of years. It's been very well attended over those couple of years. Mm-hmm. Guys, keep that facility pristine. It's so nice to be able to walk in there, and the attitude, the energy that is in that building is so powerful. palpable. It's so nice to be around. I went in not having that much energy. I had plenty once I got ready to go and got moving and everything. It was, and I feel like that's a big part of the environment that has been created over there, the energy that is over there.
Yeah, and I got kudos to Mike Vachinsky is our facilities director, and he is just fantastic. He stays up on he stays on top of things, and he finds things that the rest of us don't see, and then he has to question us who did it.
It's something that everybody is welcome to, and everybody can attend. And Jacob, I think you bring up a really good point there. While we want you to spend as much time as you can or want to at the Y, you're going to have lives to live, and you're going to have jobs to do, you know, things to take care of, different responsibilities. While you're doing those things, you can be or you are exercising. It's something to keep in mind. I think a lot of people, especially when it comes to the exercise game, they tend to beat themselves up a lot. We're not doing enough. I'm not doing this enough, or I'm not getting to where I want to be, my goals and everything. It's important, I think, to give yourself those little wins and remember that. And if you're carrying laundry up and down the stairs, you're exercising. You're getting some.
Now, 100%.
It's not traditional, maybe, exercise or anything, but just because it is not at the Y or it is not in the traditional form doesn't mean that you're not getting some reps in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it comes back to the functionality side, right? It's being able to do the things that you want to do on a daily basis, and that's what exercise and strength training can really do for you.
Is there something about this position and being here in this area that you're really hoping to accomplish, you're really hoping to do in the 100 years that you'll be here? Now, I don't know how long you'll be here, but in the time that you're here.
I would say, I guess a big deal that I want to try bringing into it is awareness of what is offered at the YMCA, just because there's a lot of different, I guess, pathways that you can go throughout there, right? Because there's all other departments throughout the YMCA that people can utilize, and different programs that I really want to implement at the YMCA that could benefit the overall population. So I really look forward to showing up with those ideas, but those are kind of conjuring as we're going here.
And we'll have you back to talk more about those once they've developed a bit more and everything. Looking forward to that, Jacob. Thank you very much for the time, man. Appreciate it. Aaron, I wanted to talk with you a little bit about some of these great events you guys got coming up. You got a really busy summer.
We do.
One of our favorite events that you guys host, that you guys do, a part of, is the Bridge to Bridge. This wonderful 5K, 2-mile fun run walk that's coming up August 16th.
Yeah. And so remind me, we got to talk about camp too.
We'll definitely talk about camp.
You know, my memory isn't all that great these days, but that's okay.
We will work together on that. We will work together on that. And we will make sure to cover everything.
And I know Baxter's listening. He's not. No. He's with kids right now and it's mini resident week. But anyway, yes. So we have the Bridge to Bridge run at Saturday, I think August 17th. And it's a different route this year. So we're starting out at the Community First Congregational Church, and it's right on the trail between the bridges. So it's so safe. And we have a couple options. There's a 5K part, or there's a 2-mile fun run or walk. So definitely we moved in a direction to make it more accessible for more people. So yes, we got some really avid runners in the area who love their 10Ks and their half marathons and whatnot. And then we've got people in the area who want to get together, go for a walk or go for a jog, and just want to do it with a fun group of people.
Yeah.
And get a shirt. Why not?
You got to mention the shirt. These shirts are popular. People like to collect them every year. So you want to keep that in mind. And certainly make sure to get, you got to register early to be able to get that shirt. Option to purchase a race shirt, t-shirt is available. Register by August 1st to be guaranteed a t-shirt.
Yeah.
I got a limited time with these, so you know, only got so many.
You
got
to order them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a great event, and I'm glad you mentioned about any type of runner or any type of walker is welcome to something like this.
Absolutely, yeah. And if you want to bring your dog, you bring your dog. So, I mean, it's, you know, we try to make it so everyone feels welcomed. We had, like last year, previous years, we have little kids that are in this event, and, you know, they're doing their best to keep up with mom and dad, or vice versa. Mom and dad are trying to keep up with them. Mm-hmm. So It's a really family-friendly event that just brings people together. And we love that the First Congregational Church is letting us set up in their parking lot. Again, making it even more accessible for people who want to participate.
Well, yeah. And as the Y has always been and continues to get more and more involved in the community and being more a part of things, it makes sense to have you be there and have this attached to them, a great local group like that and everything.
Yeah.
And not for nothing, but also keeping in mind, everybody, that this is one of the ways the Y funds and is Absolutely. Able to create funds. And I mentioned that as an important thing, in part because the Y is one of those organizations that puts back into their community. Mm-hmm. If you have a YMCA, you have an organization, a nonprofit that puts back into your community, they've always done this. It's always been one of those things, and ours is special. Ours goes above and beyond, if you ask me. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways we can help you guys continue to do that great work in this community is by taking in these events. Seems like a win-win to me.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you get a shirt. Yeah. I could bring that up again. No, but this is part of our, we're an annual campaign season where we're asking for people in the community who are feeling blessed to be able to give back a little bit. And it's that thing where we keep reminding people that, when you give to the Y, though it's an in and out process, the money comes into the Y, but we're handing it right back out because we know that there's such a big need in the area, whether it's memberships, people need a scholarship, they need help with the memberships, or they need help just with signing up for programs, whether it be for adults, youth, seniors, I mean, you name it. It's a long list of things that we are able to support this community, but it's because we have such fantastic people in this area that consistently give year after year after year. I mean, when you think about it, we have a beautiful facility, as you were talking about before, beautiful facility in downtown Wisconsin Rapids. Just 6 years ago, there was a mall standing there.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it was a long process getting this new building built and whatnot. But I mean, how many people in this area really questioned whether or not we'd be able to build this facility? Yeah. Because, this area, as a lot of people know, has been hit kind of hard, when it comes to either mills being shut down or, just job loss in general. We know everyone's feeling their expenses going up. So more people are needing that help. And so for us to have this facility and, have that it's running well, it's a testament, not necessarily just to the Y, but it's a testament to everyone in this community. So, I mean, it's a huge shout out to all of you. I mean, those of you who are listening, I mean, we just are so appreciative of what people in this area are willing to do to support each other.
It's a real team effort.
Absolutely.
Between the community, the Y, all these great individuals that help make all of this happen, both at the Y and just in the community. Mm-hmm. It really is a true team effort. And it's part of the reason why we love these events, especially one like this, where it really literally brings the community together.
Yeah.
Like people are all from all different walks of life are coming together. No pun intended, walks of life. also bringing in an opportunity for our community to hang out with each other, to see people that maybe you don't get to see all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And getting out and getting some exercise. There's like no negative to something like this. And again, when you register, not only do you get that cool shirt, but you also can know that, well, I'm investing. This isn't a donation. This is an investment in my community. Yeah. Every penny I spend with the Y is, an investment in what they're doing and trying to do for our community and the betterment of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a win-win right there if I ever
Absolutely.
Heard one.
And you know what? Let's do a little shout out to the farmer's market. When you're done with your race, you're going to walk to the other side of the bridge and you're gonna stop at that farmer's market.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, what a cool thing that we have in this area.
Yeah it's awesome. Go ahead, be sure to support the farmer's market every chance you get, every Thursday and Saturday, everybody, and mark your calendars. Saturday, August 16th will be the Bridge to Bridge run. We're looking forward to this. It'll be starting, as Aaron was telling us, at First Congregational Church at 311 Second Street South in Wisconsin Rapids. 7:15 is check-in, 8:30 will be race time, and 9:30 will be the awards ceremony. If you would like to find out more and register, you can contact Stephanie Lund at 715-818-6012. That's 818-6012. Or you can email her, slund@swcymca.org. And that those letters there, you want to keep that in mind, because that is where you can register as well, online at swcymca.org. Aaron, also wanted to talk a little bit about the other events you have coming up. You have your golf outing, the 2024 golf outing coming up. Yeah. It's right around the corner.
Yes, so that's
a busy August.
August. But it's good. It's a good busy. So yeah, we have our golf outing coming up, and this is our annual golf outing. This is actually our largest fundraiser for the Y, and again, it just hits home for the annual campaign. Mm-hmm. So what I love about this event is that so many area businesses come and they either sponsor a team or they have their employees, you know, form a team. They come. Usually we have like 36 groups that are out there. The Ridges does a fantastic job hosting this event. They bend over backwards for us, which of course, again, it's people coming together to make sure that, you know, we're doing the best for our community, which it's very inspiring.
We know how popular and how much people love golf around here. We're going to have people out there golfing. Why not have them out there golfing for a cause, golfing to add to our community? And you can do that whether you're a golfer or not. You can sponsor a hole. There's other opportunities, right?
Yeah, you could, and you can sign up as an individual too. So say you want to play, but you don't have anyone else that really wants to do this. I mean, give us a call. We'll sign you up as an individual, and it's so much fun. Like every other hole, we have a game on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So don't think of it as like regular golf.
No. You are more than welcome to wear the normal golf clothes if you want. That's certainly, you know, the uniform, if you will. That's fine. But otherwise, yeah, it's a little bit different golf than you're used to.
It's a scramble. So if you're a bad player, I don't know if bad is the right word, but let's say you're not the greatest player. You know, like do what I do, and you get someone on your team who's really good.
Well, you're smart. That's good. And think about when you're registering, when you're signing up for this event, when you're out there on the greens and enjoying yourself. Keep in mind that this impacts a lot beyond the green. Your flyer puts this very well. It really impacts the special events for youth and adults, youth sports programs, swimming lessons, YMCA Child Care Day, and resident care for youth at the YMCA Camp Alexander. And one of my favorite things that you guys do over there, Membership for All. The idea of I don't think I can afford the Y, that barely exists anymore. And it's because of things like this, events like this, and really the Y's insight on this. It's certainly want to keep the lights on. We want to keep that Y healthy and keep it running for a long, long, long time. But the Y is not about making a profit, if you will. It's not a business. It's a nonprofit. We want people in the building. We want to get you in the building. We want more and more membership. Love to have every member in this community being a member of the Y.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Membership for All helps make those things happen.
Absolutely.
And you can help make that happen just by golfing.
Yeah. So when you're out there swinging the club, you have to think to yourself, oh my gosh, you know, I am paying it forward.
Yeah.
You know, really that's what it is. You're making it so that anyone in this community who wants to join can join. And that's what sets us apart from other facilities in the area. So, you know, it kind of goes back to that, you know, when you guys were talking earlier about, you know, the dimensions of wellness. So there's that financial part too. There's, you know, and for some in the area, the financial part of, you know, wellness maybe isn't doing so hot, but by joining the Y, you can strengthen those other dimensions, and then that will help continue to help support you and continue to help you kind of keep moving forward in life. So we're all at different places in life, and this is where we all come together as a community.
Yeah.
And in the Y, you have no clue what anybody else is going through, where they're at in life, their status in life, you name it. It's everyone's there. And everyone is treated exactly the same. There's no tiers. There's nothing. So you come in, you get your membership, and we are just happy to see your face coming through our doors.
I've gone to the Y a number of times, and I've certainly worked out my whole life. And one of my favorite things is at a gym, and you see somebody come over. You need a spotter? You know, and they don't even know each other. Yeah. They don't even know each other. But you're trusting this person that you don't even know to spot you. And everybody does it. I've done it 100 times. My dad has. I'm sure you have, Jacob.
Oh, yeah.
It's a trust that we have with each other in those environments. It just speaks to the environment that's created, the energy that is in those buildings. It's just one little example of that, of working together and making us a stronger community. It's a fun event.
Absolutely.
Encourage you to register and find out more. You can do that by going to the Y's website. Be sure to bookmark that page if you haven't done so already. SWCYMCA.org, SWCYMCA.org. WCYMCA.org. Be sure to follow them on social media as well. It's another great way to keep up to date on all the things coming up. And they got a lot going on, so it's a really good way to keep that in order for you and everything. Aaron, as we're wrapping up, I did want to mention the Y is always, whether it's these events or just other things, we've got a lot of programs at the Y, a lot of things going on over there. Could always use volunteers.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. If there's something that... Let's say you go to our website and you don't see a volunteer opportunity listed, but let's say you have your own personal strength or, you know, something that you're an expert in or whatnot. Give us a call. I mean, we will find a spot for you to volunteer. Mm-hmm. We love our volunteers. You know, so many times we have, whether it's someone who has spare time, there's students that need to get their volunteer requirements from school. We have retirees that are just wanting to give back. We'll find a place.
We'll find work for you. We'll find somewhere to put you. Yeah. And maybe it'll be camp. Maybe it'll be camp we send you. Maybe it'll be that.
Yeah, Baxter would love that. Mm-hmm. The camp is definitely in full swing. And for those of you who have not registered your youth up for camp, there is still plenty of time.
Yeah.
You know, we have 12 weeks of camp mm-hmm. every summer. So this is where Baxter Arndt earns his money.
Find out about camp. Get your kid registered. Find out more about it. You can go to swcymca.org/camp to find out more about that. Otherwise, it's very easy to find. It's a wonderful website. I love your guys' website.
Oh,
everything is very easy to maneuver and find in there. swcymca.org. Jacob, great to meet you. Thank you very much for the time.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Looking forward to talking again soon, man. And Aaron, always good talking with you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, again, we'll have more Midday Magazine for you coming up here at WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, locally grown radio.
The Todd Alba Show.
Andrew Hahn, he is a data journalist and he maps.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we're live from Wisconsin Dells, our What Makes Wisconsin Great tour. Will Todd be on a duck boat? Find out.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Say you never give in to a meltdown and never fill your feed with kid photos. You say you'd never put a pacifier in your mouth to clean it and never let them run wild through the grocery store. So when you say you'd never let them get into a car without you there, no, it can happen. 1 in 4 hot car deaths happen when a kid gets into an unlocked car and can't get out. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop. Look. Lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS